Everybody say amen. God is good again. I can't remember a time when He hasn't been good. But He's even better today because we're still here. So thank God that we are still here. For there are many who started on this journey at the same time, but yet they are not here. God is good. We live in a dangerous times, and society is at an all-time low. So we need to be very cautious about our prayer life and our life and our faith and worship to God. We need to remember God in everything that we do and in all things that we do and say. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from the book of Luke, chapter 17. The verses are verses number 5 and verse number 6. And this morning, let us take a moment as we go to God in prayer. Bow with me, if you will. O righteous and wonderful Father, You are so great. You are grand, O Lord. You are the one who made us, and You made everything in this world, including this world. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, that we have been blessed and we have been privileged to be here once again today. We thank You because this is Your day, O Lord, and You could have left us behind, but You have allowed us to be here just the same. I thank You, O Lord, for what You have done for me personally and what You have done for each and every one of the members of my family as well as my church family, O Lord. I thank You for everything. I pray this morning, O Father, that if it be Your will, as children of God, that You would continue to bless us and keep us. Thank You, O Lord, for waking us up this morning. Thank You for getting us up this morning. And thank You for having the doors of the church to be open this morning. Thank You, Lord. This morning, O Heavenly Father, we come praying for this local congregation here, our Stony Island Church of Christ, O Lord. We pray for all of the churches of Christ, especially those who hold up the bloodstained banner. But in particular, we're coming on behalf of our local congregation. We pray for the leaders, the elders here. We pray for their families. We pray for the brethren here who have taken part thus far in this morning's services. We pray that and pray for their family as well. We pray for those who are sick and shut in, and we thank You, O Lord, that we have been blessed, that we are still able to have a reasonable portion of our health and our strength, that we may be able to be out. I thank You, O Heavenly Father, for those brethren as they have brought the service to this point, and we're praying for those who shall take part in the services from this point on. And we pray, O Heavenly Father, that the things that we do and say this morning will be found favorable and acceptable in Thy sight. I thank You this morning, Father, for those who are without, and that if it be Thy will, that You would provide them with their needs, O Lord, as You said, as the Bible said You would. I thank You, O Heavenly Father, that all might be well with those who are grieving this morning, and I thank You, O Heavenly Father, that they might be well. I thank You, Heavenly Father, for all who protect us, the soldiers, the troops, the policemen, the firemen. I thank You for all of those who are at our beck and call, O Lord. Please, Father, continue to bless each and every one of us. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, and we thank You that You sent Your Son to this world as He mounted the hill and mounted the cross for our sins. We thank You, Father, for everything. It is in the name of Your Son, Jesus, we continue to pray and ask all these blessings. Let the church say amen. Amen. This morning, from that 17th chapter of the book of Luke, starting at verses number 5 and ending with verse number 6. Once again, this morning, our subject this morning, I should say, is increase our faith. Faith is the bond that ties us together to God, but there are many of us are so lacking in faith that we live our lives in a fog. First, we don't understand faith. Secondly, we don't know how and where it comes from. And thirdly, many don't know how to get it, be strong in it, nor keep it. In the text, the apostles asked the Lord to increase their faith. Therefore, I believe that we need to ask the author and finisher of our faith to help us in the faith arena. Faith is what many of us, including myself, need to be strengthened in or need to be increased in. We need to be like the disciples asking Jesus to increase their faith, so we need to probably ask to increase our faith as well. Now, what is the definition of faith? Well, faith is the main key that binds us to God. Faith means that we allow God to lead us even though we can't see Him. Hebrews 11 and verse number 1, faith is not seen, but it's hoped for. But take note of verse number 3 in Hebrews 11, where the Bible says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Having faith allows us to accept that God made heaven and earth without seeing how He made it, how He put it together, and what materials He used to put it together. Faith allows us to accept that we can live, die, and one day be at peace with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ if we live a righteous life. I want you to notice how faith works. First, we must understand there are different degrees of faith. There are those who have no faith, like in those in Deuteronomy 32 and verse number 20, where God said He would hide His face from them because they were unfaithful. Then there are some who have little faith. And I'm fairly certain that some of us know some of those who have little faith. They worry themselves over things that they have no control over, as in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, but especially verse number 30. If God clothes the grass of the fields, why or why won't He clothe us with our needs? Yet there are those who have great faith as well. They can, for instance, can be found in Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 10. From all of the people, from of all people, a Roman centurion, a man who thought himself not worthy of being even in the company of Jesus. But Jesus said the man had great faith. So how do we as Christians increase our faith today? Well, you know, as Christians, we talk about faith a lot. We say that we have this faith, and we consider that, all right, I got this all under control because I have faith. But then when you, in order to increase your faith or to have this faith, we must learn to study the Word of God daily. There are some who claim to be faithful, but they are unsure how or what to do to shore up their faith. If I could but speak this morning for a few minutes from experience, I would like to tell you that no matter how strong you think you are, no matter how great your faith seems to be, your faith can be shaken. We must continue to study the Word of God in order to stay in the faith. We must continue to study the Word of God that we may walk in the faith, and we must continue to study the Word of God so we'll know how to stay in the faith. One life-changing emergency can shake our faith. Faith is like an automobile. It may run good now, but it's going to need some work to keep it at its best. And that's the same with your faith. You may have great faith today, but you're going to need some work in order to make your faith last and to continue in the faith. This is where studying the Word of God comes in, for the Bible is full of blessings and faith. And somebody might say, well, how do you know that the Bible is full of faith? Well, all you have to do is flip over to Romans chapter 10 and verses number 17. The Bible tells us, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. My word doesn't have the power of faith in it, but God's Word does. I can teach on faith, but I must speak it from the Word of God. I don't have faith in my words. In my words alone, that's all they are. They are mere words, but the Bible contains faith. Once again, in Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing. It is from the Word of God. Blessed is he that read and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep these things written therein, for the time is at hand. We can never expect to become more faithful if we don't read God's Word. There is something about and for all of us in His Word if we just study it. Whether you're lonely, whether you're afraid, whether you're troubled, whether you're tempted, or in this case, just even getting old, you need the Word of God if you're getting close and your days are becoming fewer and fewer. And I know something about that, old church. Oh, yeah, church, I can tell you that as we get older, we start looking at those days differently. I've told you this before. As you get older, you sort of look at yourself and you say to yourself, I've probably got more days past me than I've got in front of me. And you learn to, you should learn to accept the Word of God that teaches us righteous living. When we study God's Word, personally, I like one scripture that inspires me. Not all the scriptures inspire me, but in particular, like one scripture in the Bible because it speaks to me personally and it probably speaks to many of you. In Psalms chapter 37 and verse number 25, the Bible says, I have been young and now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. That says a lot, church. That says a lot, and you need to pick out a scripture or two that you learn to live by and learn to accept as the Word of God and keep it close to your heart. When your life and your faith is headed downhill, just speak to God. For it's God who can give us wisdom according to James chapter 1 and verse number 5. Wisdom is what we need in order to guide us through the trials of our daily lives. And asking God for wisdom, I want you to notice something. How we must ask for wisdom. We go right back to that word again. In verse number 6 of James 1, we find him where he writes, let him ask in faith. No matter how you slice it, it all comes back to faith, church. And we know what the Bible says about faith in Hebrews 11 and verse number 6. Without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, if one loses his faith, he may start hearing Satan. And when you start hearing Satan, he'll remove the I am from the word impossible. He'll remove the word, the two words I am, and he'll have us to believe that without faith, it is possible to please God. Isn't that what he did to Eve? Didn't he just change a couple of words, a word or two around, and made her believe something that wasn't true? He tricked Eve in the garden by changing those two words. God's word, making God's word have a different interpretation. But just as sure as it was wrong back then, it was wrong information back then, so is Satan still distributing wrong information today. And he'll try his best. He'll try his best to cause you to listen to him. And if your faith is weak, trust me, church, he's getting real close to you. You've got to shore up your faith. Ask the Lord. Look at Luke 17 and verse number 5. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. But look what the Lord said. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you may say to this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But I tell you, all you need is just a little faith. All you need is just a little faith the size of the grain of a mustard seed. And you've heard me say it before, a mustard seed, if I held it on my fingertip, you wouldn't be able to see it from down there. But yet, that's all the faith you need. And that'll help you to get through life's emergencies. Then after studying God's Word, we've got to learn to pray always. If one is ever to increase their faith, they must learn to seek God not only through His Word, but by prayer. And somebody may ask the question this morning, what are we supposed to pray about? Well, the simple answer, the answer in one word is everything according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6. Be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer. In everything. If you stomp your toe out there, thank God that you didn't break the toe, you just stomped it. There's something good in everything that that we do, church. There's something good for us if we go to the Word of God, I should say. That means that when we pray, we are to let our requests be made known to God. As Christians, our faith should allow us to be not anxious over life's ups and downs. And there's a point right there. Will we have ups and downs? You better believe we're going to have ups and downs. Just when you think everything is going just the way you want it to go, just the way you think it ought to go, just the way it seems right unto you, we may have a down moment. And down moments do come. That means that our faith should allow us to see those ups and downs. I have been guilty of this myself, church. I wanted God's help to do. I wanted to help God do what I asked Him to do. But I've learned that our cares given over to God are in His care then. When our faith is weak, we ask God to help us, but for some reason, we want God to use our plans and our timetables. In praying, we are making our cares known to Him. I want you to notice, not that He doesn't already know about what we're going through, but He wants it to come from us to let Him know that we know that He is in charge. We make things known to Him through prayer. And what are the effects of prayer? We're looking at Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 7. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And you know what that brings up? Until we know Jesus, we will never know peace. I was going through a church just a little while ago. But once I turned it over to God, I remember something that Brother Jackson told me. And I don't mind letting Brother Jackson know about it. I was going through it and Brother Jackson put his arms on my shoulder. And he said to me, remember your message and hold on to your faith. Church, I had to grab faith and hold on to it. I went to the Lord in prayer. I went to the Lord in prayer and I got up one morning. And I was able to release my frustration. I was able to let them go and I understood a little better. And I know that prayer works because prayer worked for me. And I know it'll work for you if you just trust in the Lord and put your faith in Him. All of us must bear our cross. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9 in the verses number 23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. When my faith was at a low point, I went to the Lord and I got an increase in my faith. I asked for the increase in my faith. And through these prayers, I have been able to see things differently. Today, if you don't know or question the level of your own faith, just speak to God about it. Study His Word, for through study and prayer, we learn what faith is, what it does, and most importantly of all, we learn how to serve the Lord through faith. As for me personally, church, I don't know how I'll be tomorrow. I don't know how it's going to be for me tomorrow, nor do you know how it's going to be for you. But one thing I do realize is that tomorrow is not promised to any of us anyhow. But if I get there, if I get to tomorrow, I'll be praying again. For His Word tells me in Philippians 4:19, but my God, church, my God. God is personal right there. He said, for my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory. So if I get to tomorrow, you better believe somewhere I'll be on my knees sometime during tomorrow. And I'll be asking God to just strengthen me again. And you ought to do the same thing. When your faith is in need of an increase, speak to whom the apostles spoke to. Ask like they asked. Ask Him to increase your faith. You may not think you need God, but let me tell you something about that. I've told you probably before, but I'm going to tell you again anyhow. Just let one of those life-striking emergencies hit you. And you might call it a major emergency, if you will. And when one of those major emergencies come your way, you'll call on Him if you got a little bit of sense in your body. You'll call on Him. So learn to call on Him ahead of these emergencies. And I got news for you. None of us are exempt from emergencies. None of us are exempt that we're not going to have an emergency. Oh, you might think, well, it probably won't happen to me because I live all right. It doesn't have anything to do with you living all right. Trouble comes in all of our lives, and sometimes the storms blow harder in your life than they may in my life, and sometimes they blow harder in my life than they may be blowing in your life. But nevertheless, prepare, because storms are going to come. And if you don't think it's going to come, just stick around for a little while. As I told you before, you're either coming out of a storm, getting ready to go into one, or you're just in the middle of one. So storms shall come. So when those major emergencies hit you, do like the apostles did in Luke chapter 17 in verse number 5. Ask the Lord to increase your faith. For faith will get you through when nothing else can get you through. Faith will help you. It's my faith that I trust in the Lord with all my heart and soul. Yes, it may have gotten shaken a little bit. But you know something? Without a few trials, where would we be? Learn to call Him, as I said, ahead of these emergencies. Have God on your speed dial so you can call Him anytime and all the time. So the apostle said in Luke 17, verse number 5, he said, and the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say to this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Well, I'll tell you something about that, church, as I draw to a close here now. But this is my first closing. I'll tell you something. There's something about having the size of a mustard seed. That means, church, that I've got enough faith that I can trust and put my entire life in the hands of God. Oh, and I know something about that. I know something about that because I've known God for a good while now, church. I've known Him for a good while, and I know what He is able and capable of doing. I know just how good the Lord can be to any and all of us. And somebody said, well, I don't trust the Lord with my personal life. Well, your life is not really your personal life. It's His life. He loaned it to you. He loaned it to me. So when you talk about personal things in life, oh yeah, now I'm not saying you go out there and throw out everything about you out in the middle of the street. That's a different kind of personal. I'm talking about your spirit-filled life. When you turn your life over to God, when you gave Him your heart, you told God, I'm trusting in you. And unfortunately, I say unfortunately because it is. When a person comes up and tell Brother Jackson or Brother Burnside, I want to be baptized. And they'll ask them, do you understand the confession that Jesus Christ, that was made and Jesus Christ died because of that? Do you understand that? When you are committing your life to God, you understand that confession will bring new life unto you. It brought death unto Christ. And then when Brother Jackson takes you in the water up there, oh, he's not putting you in there to get a bath. He's not putting you in there so you can wash the clothes that you have on. He's putting you in there so you can be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And don't ask me how it works. All I know is that the water and the blood mixes together and we get the Lord in our lives. We become a member of the body of Christ. And when you go in, you know, I like to tell you, if you got corns on your feet when you go in, when you come out, you're still going to have those corns. You're still going to be the same person on the outside, but you should be a new person on the inside. And when you come out of there, you should have enough faith to say, Lord, I've turned my life over to you. Now lead me, Lord. And then somewhere down the line, something is going to come your way. And if your faith is not right, it's going to shake you. Something is going to cause you to tremble and become a little weak if you're not careful. And when you become weak, you know there's nothing like a weak Christian brother. When you become weak, things start to change in your life. And I've learned something through the years of serving the Lord. When that faith becomes shaken, for some, it's hard to regain. But for others, they do what the apostles did. They ask Christ for an increase in their faith. And you know, little things in our lives can cause big problems. Little small things can cause us huge problems if we're not careful. And some of these huge problems that these little things evolve into, we can't handle them. It's just impossible for us to handle them. And when you think about it, if I trusted and I had enough faith last night when I laid my body down, when I laid my body down last night, I was trusting and I had faith in the Lord that sometime in the morning I was going to wake up. Now, I couldn't wake myself up because I was asleep. Isn't that right, church? So if I couldn't wake myself up, there had to be some trust and some faith somewhere, and grace played a part in that as well. And when the time was just right, I was gently brought back out of my sleep, and so were you. It wasn't just me, it was you too. And for this, we ought to be eternally grateful. For this, we ought to be able to say, thank you, Lord. Every day, somebody just said. And when you get to the point where you can't say thank you, Lord, every day, you got a problem. When you get to the point where you can't say, Lord, I trusted in you on last night, and I'm still going to be trusting in you on this day as it approaches me. See, when I get up every morning, the first thing I do, I look out the window. And I say, thank God, I can see the beginning of a new day. I don't know how far I'll go in each day, but I know I saw the beginning of it. This may be the last day I have, but at least I saw the beginning of it. So when I put my faith in the Lord, I'm trusting that He'll do for me what I can't do for myself. That's His great, His love, His grace, and His mercy, but I use it through faith. And when all is said and done, we've got a big debt we owe to the Lord. And I don't care what kind of job you have, you can't pay the Lord back. You can only pay Him back through your faith. You can only pay Him. You can make millions of dollars a year, but you still will never be able to pay the Lord for what He's done for you. You know, I've mentioned this to you before too. Every time I get on an airplane, and I don't get on them that often anymore, but every time I get on an airplane, when I first walk through the door, I peep around in the pilot's cockpit there. I want to see who's driving me. Since I'm not driving, I want to know who's driving me. And I say a little prayer for him. Not necessarily because I think he's going to get in trouble, but just in case he does or trouble finds him. And I want to be able to touch ground again. And when you think about it, church, you ought to thank God every time you get on an airplane, whether it be an airplane, a bus, or the train. You ought to be able to say, Lord, I'm putting myself through faith in the hands of this man here. Guide him, Lord. Help him to remember what he's been taught. You know, it's complicated driving a car, but when you fly a 20-ton aircraft, that's a whole different ballgame. And that's a complicated process. So you ought to put your faith in God, and if you don't have enough faith, ask God to increase your faith. How do I ask God to increase my faith? Just go through to Him through studying His Word and praying on a daily basis. And if you're not a part of the Lord's body, how do I become a member of the Lord's body? You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But what if We all got what ifs in our life. What if when I did that 12, 15, 20 years ago, I lost my faith and I've been wandering in a sea of mysterious things happening in my life since then. What do I do? Well, you ask God to forgive you, ask God to bring you back, and then come forward, ask the church to pray for you so that you may gather strength. And you all know that there's nothing wrong with coming up here asking the church to pray for you. I'll do it in a minute, so you ought to do it too. There's nothing wrong with asking the church. You don't have to tell the church what you're doing or what you did or what happened to you. Just tell them, church, I'm going through something right now. I went to God already, but I need you to go to God. And like I always say, when you get up here, speak loudly so the church can know what you ask them to pray for you for. You know, if you mumble, that may be the kind of prayer that you get, a mumble. But if you let the folk know that I need you to pray because something went wrong, just tell it, just ask them and turn around and face the church and tell the church, I've been wrong and I need some help here. You don't have to get into detail. A lot of folk don't know what want to know what you did anyway. So just remember that, and if this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Our hymn is 680. There's not a friend like the Lord, I'm singing, no, not one.